because Discord has this problem of if there are multiple people from multiple regions joining a Discord call,
Yes.
there is only one server. There are not multiple servers, basically, and that's why the latency is very high. Sometimes the latency is more than 100 or 400 or 500 milliseconds, and that call doesn't feel real time anymore, and the
Yes.
experience collapses and crashes down. And that's why you need to build this cascading kind of environment where we are connected to different servers and they are talking to each other, and that's the best way to have a latency which is sub 100 milliseconds.
Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And today I'm interviewing Ayush Ranjan from Huddle01. Huddle01 is an extremely innovative DeepIn project. So DeepIn as in decentralized physical infrastructure. They are building the network layer, the infrastructure layer that is decentralized. I had such an amazing time talking with Ayush because we went down deep into, okay, how did he get started with a project like this? How are they getting coverage? How are they growing? What challenges they are facing? So if you're also a founder building in this space, this episode is going to be highly relevant for you. Also, nothing mentioned in this podcast episode should be taken as investment advice. And if you enjoy this episode, please share it with your community, with your friends on social media. With that out of the way, let's get into it. So Ayush, it's great to have you on the podcast. So looking forward to talking about Huddle01, everything that you're building. But first of all, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Sam. I love chatting with you. I think we've chatted a lot in backstage as well. So already the vibe is set.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So yeah, let's get into it. Like we were just talking about where you're based and what you're doing. Let's get started. How did you end up in blockchain, crypto, Web3, all these things?
Yeah, it was a journey. I think is something where if I just look backwards, I can connect the dot. But going forward, I didn't know that I was going to be in the blockchain space. So my journey is that I am an electrical engineer by my education background. Graduated back in 2016. Electrical engineering was pretty slow for me in terms of I didn't have a complete interest to go into that field in the core of it. So from 2014, 2015 itself, I became Google's kind of a marketing lead of Google's student ambassador program, which happens in our college. My college was in Rajasthan, Jaipur.
Yes.
So it was LMIT. It was a college by Mittal, ArcelorMittal. So it's a pretty good college, very good kind of alumni base. And I had a very good time of 4 years there. And then post that, essentially, I joined a startup called Taskbob back in 2015. I didn't graduate back that way, but I started working since my third year itself. Taskbob is similar to TaskRabbit in the US, which is a essentially hyperlocal on-demand plumbers, carpenters, etc. You need click of a button, you can have them in their own home. So hyperlocal services. I did product and growth there for 2 years. Understood all the nuances of startup in terms of the fundraise, in terms of, because I directly worked with the founders, Asim and I did work there in terms of the product, in terms of growth, and yeah, understood the whole nuances and nuts and bolts of how a startup is run. Post that, I joined Zepho, which is an e-commerce marketplace, worked there for 2 years. So essentially I worked for 5 years in the whole marketplace industry as an operator, did a lot of product and growth work, but realized over time is that the way I was doing this growth by using these advertisements to basically get a lot of acquisition of customers was not the way to basically to acquire customers, because it was a bit invasive in terms of the privacy. You can just from a website, you can just target them left and center using Google AdWords and all these different tools. So I realized that there should be a better way to do marketing and doing these programmatic advertisings. So I wanted to disrupt the advertising space, and I was looking for options. How can I use blockchain essentially to disrupt this whole advertising industry, digital advertising industry? And that's where I stumbled upon Brave browser and realized that they built a kind of whole, essentially a Chrome alternative, but completely in a bottom-up manner, where essentially it's a bottom-up systems and it can do things which Chrome cannot do in terms of advertisements, where you can now you get paid for seeing ads rather than you getting targeted left and center, and there is no kind of tracking which happens. So really, this is a new kind of complex system altogether, which I really love. That made me go deep dive into the crypto space, and that's the first token which I hold in my life. It was not BTC or ETH, it was BAT. It was back in 2018, 2019. That was my first holding of crypto. I knew about Bitcoin back in the day, but the first token which I hold was BAT. And then my point was that, hey, this is really cool. Blockchain is really cool. Mechanism design game theory is very cool. Let me go and pursue master's, PhD, and then postdoc in basically game theory and essentially mechanism design. So I went to a university in Stirling in Scotland and wanted to go for my master's there. And then COVID happened. This was 2020. And then my admission got deferred by 6 months.
Yes.
And after my admission got deferred, I was like, hey, till my admission, till I go to the college, let me just iterate a bit. And that's where the hackathon was happening, ETH Global HackFest, back in 2020, July. So that's where I met my co-founder, Sushmit. He's from my university itself. He was in my junior batch in my college. And we joined and we started building Huddle01 there. But the idea is very simple that Zoom essentially targets, basically Zoom was having this problem of privacy and stuff back in the day. So hey, let's build a bottom up Zoom back in the day. And yeah, now it's been 4 years and we've been building strong. We've built the whole network. So yeah, that was my entry into the blockchain space.
Fantastic, fantastic. First point, my kids love Brave. My 3-year-old knows Brave. He asks for Brave by name. You know why? Because even he knows that if he has Brave, YouTube won't show ads. And all three of my kids, I've got three sons, they all love Brave and they all use Brave and by name. So they know. So it is the next generation knows. It's crazy. It is insane. So we saw this happen so many times from Netscape, and we saw it happen to Internet Explorer to Chrome and Chrome to now Brave. We have seen this move happen. We have seen this movie before. Talking about Zoom, I don't know if you followed that case that happened in Singapore not that long ago, where the Zoom, everyone was AI generated avatar and they made the person transfer a lot of company funds. And I do feel like that's where there is a use case for blockchain, because you can have on-chain identity, but it's not that easy to fake. And I do think there will be a more concrete use case for a decentralized network in this way. But yeah, that aside, tell me a bit more about Huddle01. How does it work?
Yeah, absolutely. Huddle01, the journey when we started in hackathon, it was back in July 2020. That's where we realized that, hey, Zoom is great. It works. Basically, there was a black swan event of COVID and Zoom completely went off the charts, had a stock at $3 and everything worked great. This is the same kind of black swan event which happened with NVIDIA, where nobody knew that compute will become so, so new oil and NVIDIA will just basically reissue that $2 trillion dollars. So I think that's where we realized that Zoom was working great. It's very scalable. Everyone can do basically communication from their own home, spinning up a normal Zoom's client. But there were some big problems at that time. One was Zoom bombings back in 2020, where essentially anyone was able to join the Zoom calls. But we realized that, hey, this was first. Second was that a lot of my cousins, they used to live in remote parts of India. And they used to basically, since COVID was there, they didn't used to go to school. So they had to use Zoom, all their courses and all their classes. And I realized that they used to use Zoom in tandem with WhatsApp. Why? Because Zoom was not working well for them, because they were in remote parts of India. The internet connection was not, and Zoom had their servers only in basically the US part of the regions. So now how the basically whole audio and video calls work is that essentially you have to transfer this. Right now in chatting, this whole bi-directional audio and video packets, they route all the way to basically where the servers are, and then it comes back to you. For a normal remote person who's in India, sitting in India, they did their audio and video packets used to go all the way to North Virginia servers and then come back.
Yes.
Now, to do that, this UDP packets, they're susceptible to heat loss. The more it basically transfers, the more there is heat loss. The more there is heat loss in these packets, the more there is jitter, robotic voices and stuff like that.
Yes.
That led to years of rote learning for a lot of remote learning for a lot of students in remote parts of India in itself. And that's where we realized that, hey, the problem is not with Zoom itself. The problem is with the inherent infrastructure on which it is built, which is the current fabric of internet, where data centers are a major kind of basically fulcrum on which this whole communication revolves around. So we realized that, hey, if Ayush and Sam are in New Zealand, and if all is happening in New Zealand, why not a server should be in New Zealand itself? That was the whole...
Exactly right. Yes.
That's where we realized that, hey, now basically you and I, we have good internet connection. Why not Sam become a server himself? And he powers the call of both of us. So that was the whole premise of it, that we can create this Airbnb of real-time communication where you don't require...
Fantastic.
You don't require AWS. You just require a good internet connection, which has a good 4-core CPU and a good internet speed, and you're done. You can become a server, and there's no monopoly, there's no vendor lock-in, and it's credible neutral platforms. This is the whole mission of Huddle01, to create a people-powered network, which is much more common, which is way more cheaper, and which is also way more private as compared to others. To build that, we have it's a marketplace of supply and demand. So Huddle built, first of all, instead of just building the supply side, we built the demand side. We're building an app on our own network, which looks like Zoom, but it's completely basically scalable, can do 10,000 people calls, can do all the things we can do. But at the same time, it's basically can run on the network which Huddlezone is building. And that's how we get basically just bootstrap the demand on our own supply itself. So right now we have built the whole demand. We have done more than 3 million minutes of meeting on our own platform. And now basically we are launching our nodes in which Sam can download on their own laptop and can become a basically node itself. And the end goal is that the Zooms of the nature should get out of this basically this barrier of clouds of AWS yes. and use this network which is credible and neutral and much more cheaper for them, because AWS charges 80x markup just on internet bandwidth, which is an insane costing. And to get yes. basically that cost, second is that it's way less performant, because data centers is only in 150 parts of the world. Think about Africa, think about India. There are only one and two data centers in the whole basically region. Yes. In the whole of Africa, there's only two or three data centers. Imagine the kind of internet connectivity which they have. And that's where Starlink comes into picture for helping these students to have a different kind of call quality. So yes, this is the whole mission of Huddlezone, building a people-powered network, which is way more performant, way more cheaper, and essentially can lead to this breakthrough RTC application itself.
Yes, that's fantastic. I've got so many questions. Why do you think this hasn't been done yet so far?
I think the couple of players, essentially one of them who I deeply respect, Matrix, who have been building this, starting with chat and now also coming to video. I think one thing which hasn't been done before is that the evolvement of crypto economics has become way more advanced in the coming, as soon as we are basically, the whole research on mechanism design and game theory has started becoming much more better. Now we can essentially have this better kind of incentive structures to make sure that this becomes possible. Engineering challenge wise, I think still it could be done before as well. Now it becomes better because now the internet speed has become. So we are in the right time of the market where now the internet is very good. Even in India, you have a 5G and 6G is coming. Now you have this good amount of internet speed to basically become a server yourself. And this is why it's on the right market. That was first. Second right time of the market is why, because the crypto incentives have become much, much more advanced in terms of how incentives could be designed. Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. When you're outside of an industry, this is I call it like the entrepreneur's disease. You often feel like, oh, I should do this or I should build this. And then when you go in the industry, you find all these intricacies of that industry, of that market, of that nation. You learn so many new things about that industry that you didn't know before. What are some unique things you learned about this industry once you got in?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Sam, which you mentioned. And this is what we realized. So when we started Huddlezone, we didn't essentially knew the whole intricacies of how this fabric of communication happens over internet.
Yes.
And when you deeply love what you are building and you're very resilient into it, you start going into the whole trenches of the whole, basically, you try to find that needle in that whole haystack, etc. That's what happened with Huddlezone. We engineers by background, both me and Sushmat, but we were not... in WebRTC. Like WebRTC is the protocol used for audio and video. But in 4 years' time, I'm very happy and proud to say that we have become experts in WebRTC in a level where completely self-learned, where we understand the whole nuances of it and have built a which is as scalable as those. I think this is what I learned, that if you're resilient enough, if you love a problem which you're solving, you will start more kind of nuances on what is happening, and you start getting first principle thinking of what is happening. Is the problem on Zoom? Is the problem on infrastructure? Or is the problem on network? Or is the problem on incentives? And that's the kind of layered, basically, way we started. Every year, we started going more deeper and realized that, okay, now we are good enough to basically build the system out, which even Zoom can use.
Yeah. How do you think people are going to communicate in the next 10 years' time? This is a very long... It's just 10 years ago, we weren't doing Zoom. We were doing Skype calls. We were doing all sorts of other things. We weren't even doing that many video calls. Now with Zoom, it's normalized. What will be normalized in 10 years' time in your
view? Yeah, this is a great question. And what I believe is that if I go back in the day, back when they were not just Homo sapiens, but there were also Neanderthals and seven other kind of humans. If you realize back in the day, Homo sapiens were of an average height of 5'5", 5'6", but Neanderthals were like 6'5", 6'6". Much stronger, much bigger, much better in terms of the brain power also. Their brains were also bigger. But one thing which Homo sapiens had discovered was language and was communicating. And that's why they were able to collaborate better. As they were able to communicate better, collaborate better. As they were able to collaborate better, they were able to innovate better. And that's why they built this different kind of tools and sets and were able to do Neanderthals. So essentially,
and you can pass on knowledge better once you have language.
Exactly. And you can pass the knowledge better. So I think similar things. So for communication, for if you need to solve these different kind of problems which exist in the nature, from climate change to different kind of diseases you haven't solved, we need to collab better, and that's how we can innovate better. And for that, we need to move away from these 2D screens on how we are doing calls to more immersive way to chat with each other. And that's where we believe that we need to basically, the systems in which we'll be built will be, it looks very sci-fi, but it will more, be more like an Iron Man kind of style, where essentially the way you can chat very basically holographic in nature. There are a couple of attempts right now, which is happening with the XRs and the ARs and the VRs in the nature.
Yes.
But it will become much, much more simpler, where the culmination of hardware and software will lead to communication happening in a manner which is very immersive, very collaborative in itself. And that's where you need to have this critical basically infrastructure solved, not on the hardware, but actually on the internet level itself. That means how does this audio and video packets basically transfer in a very low latency of less than 100 milliseconds in itself. So yes, I believe the communication will move out of this barriers of 2D rectangular screens to a very easy, lucid way.
Can I ask you a question about this whole infrastructure? Because I am from gaming background. I've built a platform on esports, which ran tournaments and stuff. And in the gaming, especially PvP gaming, lag is a big issue. Or it was, like, because I've been gaming since 98 or something. Like, those were not even online games. But anyway, so lag has been a big issue. And then when I was playing PvP games a lot in 2017, 18, 19, all that, we used to look for the server that is closest to you. So if you're in New Zealand, I'd look for one in Australia, in Sydney or Singapore. Or then if you can't get Singapore, it's useless. Now you'll have so much lag. You have to find somewhere that's many hours away and the connection will be really laggy. And then it's like a first person shooter game. Then you've done a thing and then it will take 10 seconds to take effect. It's unplayable. So you wouldn't even play. So wouldn't there be a very strong use case for gaming? There's billions of gamers around in the world for what you're building.
100%. I think you've got it completely, the whole problem statement. I think the lag is one of the biggest problems, which is for the creator and for the streamers and for the game players.
Yes.
First player game, and now also MMORPG games, they face the problem of latency itself. Even Discord right now, if you basically, a lot of people do games in tandem with Discord, because that's where the phone. And Discord has not implemented something called as cascading, which is more like, if I'm in India and you are in New Zealand, basically, how does the latency decrease in nature? There are concepts called as cascading, where essentially, rather than you and me directly basically chatting, there will be a kind of a cascaded server where I will be connected to Indian server, you will be connected to New Zealand server, and then they will be talking to at a fast pace. That decreases latency by a lot in itself. What is needed is that you need to have a less than 100 milliseconds of latency to actually have a good experience. This is for game. Creator, this is for you and me.
And then you see, look at the ping, right? So we would have, and it was crazy. It's like we would have, if we're gaming on Xbox, we would have a laptop and an iPad on the side as well. And one would be chatting and the other one would be looking at other tools and checking ping and all sorts of things. It is crazy the tools that gamers used. And there'd be third party websites where you would form groups and create groups, because it's like group play. So it's 6 versus 6 people. So these 6 people have to communicate to formulate a strategy and all that. And as you say, everyone uses Discord, and Discord was big for gamers before it became big for the crypto industry.
I think it's same. So Discord is great right now, but we have a lot of people, the customers who are moving from Discord onto Huddle for a very simple reason, because Discord has this problem of if there are multiple people from multiple regions joining a Discord call.
Yes.
There is only one server. There are not multiple servers, basically. And that's why the latency is very high. Sometimes the latency is more than 100 or 400 or 500 milliseconds. And that call doesn't feel real time anymore. And the experience collapses and crashes down. And that's why you need to build this cascading kind of environment where we are connected to different servers and they are talking to each other. And that's the best way to have a latency, which is sub 100 milliseconds. So, biggest use case for us as creators, gamers, and for anyone who is on Discord right now, they can all shift to Huddle 01 if they're using it for communication in a synchronous fashion. Not asynchronous, but more like synchronous audio and video. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. What are some challenges you have faced while building Huddle?
The biggest challenge which we have faced is on the engineering front. I think kudos to my co-founder, Sushmit. I want to basically give a shout out to my PDO and that in the engineering team. 3.5 years of grind to understand the whole nuances of the networking stack and essentially contribute to a lot of these open source libraries. The biggest thing for us was to solve for scalability and to solve for reliability and to solve for latency in itself. So this was the three biggest problems for Hardware 01. It's one of the hardest problems. I'll say it's way more harder than building a blockchain because you need to solve for a latency of 100 milliseconds and solve it for thousands and thousands of people in itself. It's not like building an infrastructure in a resource-based environment and making sure that in future, hoping that people will build on top of it. You have to build an infrastructure which people can build and use from get-go in itself. So that was the biggest engineering challenge for us. The second challenge for us was to break the habits. How do we break the habits of people of for them to use the Hardware 01 platform using basically the Zooms and the Discords of the nature? What kind of USP we can provide there? And the third biggest challenge for us was the complex system engineering. There are multiple kinds of stakeholders in Hardware 01. On the platform, we have consumers. On the supply side, we have node operators. We have validator. So how do the all these different subsystems basically talk to each other? And how are they coordinated via basically our future token is where the third biggest problem for us was.
That makes a lot of sense. Apart from Huddle, have you come across any other startups in this space that are doing excellent work? Doesn't have to be exactly the same area, but something similar.
Yeah, I think there's one which I deeply respect. It's called Matrix. Matrix is doing, has been doing some very fine work. Matrix is a protocol which has Element as an app on top of it. And they are being used by French governments, a lot of European governments, because it's way more private than Zoom. And governments like to basically use that essentially software because it's been building for years. And they're people whom we deeply admire. So yeah, I think they don't use crypto economics though. But there's still something which is way more better in terms of privacy as compared to that of the other communication softwares out there.
Yep. Oh, that's excellent. What are some of the reasons you think would be, or that would be the biggest challenges that you can come across in future? So say, for example, if it's something like DeFi startups, then it would be something like regulation or something like that. What do you foresee, or is there anything that keeps you awake at night?
I think one thing is essentially how can we make sure that if communication is moving away from AWS to these people-powered networks, how can we make sure that this people-powered network, which is the laptop of Ayush or Sam, becomes really able enough to power these communication calls without any kind of disruption? That's first. So what is required for doing audio and video calls is we are not constrained by compute. We are constrained by bandwidth. There are three major fabrics of internet. The first is compute, the second is storage, and the third is bandwidth. There are a couple of people solving compute right now, a couple of people solving for storage. And then I think we are the ones who are solving for bandwidth as well, because this requires bandwidth more than compute. So how do we make sure that this bandwidth, which we are basically using of people's home internet or data centers, those are powerful enough to basically make this call in a very seamless fashion, and for the likes of Zoom can easily switch off away from AWS and come to this network for better pricing, better privacy, and better performance in itself. And then one thing is that over time, how can we basically work with basically the regulations to make sure that this kind of infrastructure, which is people powered, works in sync with basically the different kind of regulatory frameworks, be it from like this, a couple of governments have this different kind of things where the data should remain in that region, in that places. So how do we build a credible neutral protocol? How do you basically comply with these kind of regulations is a problem in the next couple of years, which we foresee we should be solving by talking to regulators.
Yeah. What do you think has been the reason or the success for you guys to raise your first two rounds of funding?
It's a great question. I think a couple of things, being at the right place and being with the right people makes a lot of sense. For us, we started Hardware 01 building in a hackathon, which was powered by Ethereum and Protocol Labs. Protocol Labs are the founding, basically, Juan Bennett is the founder of Protocol Labs, and they have built extremely, I'd say, one of the best technologies for the web system, because of which the fabric because of which all the crypto works. It's libP2P, it's IPFS, it's Filecoin, it's Elite, IPC, it's essentially all these different kind of stacks, which has led to. And they basically also saw what we are building essentially is a kind of very interesting technology. So the first kind of funding which we got in the seed round was because we were able to have a very good frequency altogether with Protocol Labs team. Yes. And they were the first lead investor of HuddleZilla because they saw the hard problem which we are solving of democratized WebRTC protocol and to make communication a commodity and make it way more scalable. The second round, which was the seed round, pre-seed was this. And the seed round was essentially, okay, now you have all this money for R&D and building this product and technology. Where have you reached? So the second round was that when we had basically for 2 years, we just went into the shell, built, just talked to customers, iterated on product a lot, and we started getting a lot of adoption. So the growth at all costs was the kind of metric for us that how should we grow fast rather than just So basically, then we got the next funding because of our growth. We were very fast in terms of growth. Only one of the few, I'll say, applications out there or networks out there who had their own applications built. So it was very rare to have a network, an infrastructure, and an application all built in under $1 million. So we had done that. And that also led to for a lot of investors to understand that, okay, team is frugal, check. Team is first of thinking, check. They have a lot of traction, check. And that led us to essentially getting the seed round. And then, yeah, that was the major two places. And also the third was attracting a lot of good resources. So we have the best WebRTC team out there in the market. So I think a couple of things really helped us in attracting a couple of venture capitalists to be a part of the journey of Huddle. And we are very grateful for that.
Oh, that's fantastic. I have just a second. Yeah, I have a question around growth. What has been some of your most successful growth efforts when it comes to growth, marketing, attracting people, or getting your project out in front of people? This is because a lot of the listeners are founders themselves. So yeah, I just want you to share some things that worked really well for you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think once the engineering effort and product was built, Huddle in itself was inherently a viral product. That means you cannot use Huddle by just having one person on call. You need to bring someone. So that helped us a bit. The second thing which we did was that we essentially did, how can we just 10x this network effects? So we first of all went to Calendly and we just basically tried to just knock on the wall that, hey, integrate HuddleZilla. They didn't. So we went to a competitor of Calendly called cal.com, which is essentially a very good open source kind of tool and competitor to Calendly. And they integrated HuddleZilla in a span of 2 days. As soon as they did, it completely basically took off, where essentially a lot of people on cal.com started basically using HuddleZilla. Now, if you just send your cal.com link, HuddleZilla link goes on top of it. So basically, that's how we done it. That was first. Second, we knocked on the door of Google's workspace. Yes. So now HuddleZilla is also into Google Calendar. So now you can just go in your Google Calendar and you can use HuddleZilla directly because we have integrated into workspace. That really helped. And the third thing was all these user-driven campaigns for people who need this. So Zoom is great, but in Zoom for creators, you cannot multi-live stream in one click. So you cannot, every creator needs distribution. So if I'm doing this call right now and I want to live stream this, I can maybe do it on X. With Huddle, you can do it on X, you can do on LinkedIn, you can do on Twitch, you can do on TikTok Live, you can do an Instagram Live in one click. So one click, your distribution goes to all the places. Now this 10x is your mission. So that's how we got this kind of, we got all the creators in and they started getting this kind of, so you don't need to build as much features as Zoom, but you have to attack on the vector where the focus of Zoom is not there and just do it like a double down creator-based user-driven campaigns. And these are three major things which got us decent growth.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. What about the growth for? So does it work like nodes? You do need people to be that server. How do you get those people?
Yeah, a great question. So essentially on the network side of things, we have kept it. So it's still permissioned right now. So to make it permissioned, so there are 1,000 people on wait list. Now, basically deploying the nodes to people. Why people will run the nodes of another one is for the same simple reason, is because now we already have a lot of demand. And anyone who's running rewards, they know that they will be getting rewards because HuddleZilla as a network already has demand. A couple of them have demand. So that's first. Second is that they will be getting block rewards for making their nodes stay idle in the network. And these are the reasons why that's second. And third is essentially that we are partnering with a lot of these different kind of players in the ecosystem with whom we can work together. So we are in chat with a couple of these players who have their own data centers, people power data centers and stuff. And basically Huddle, just rather than having their own nodes, there's a physical node, there is a node in your laptop, and then there is this partners of Huddle One who can basically make sure that in their data centers, Huddle Zero One also takes a space. So this is how we are both on the network side of Huddle Zero One as well.
Oh, that's fantastic. When it comes to all these things like communication and blockchain or decentralized communication and all that, what's your one contrarian view or non-mainstream view?
In terms of blockchain?
Yeah, in terms of blockchain.
Yeah, I think my contrarian view is that instead of building infrastructure, anyone who's building infrastructure should build apps. They should build their own apps.
Yes.
Blockchain will not come from building infrastructures. It will come by building infrastructure and having your own app. So my thesis is we should have appfra, which is application infrastructure rather than infrastructure itself.
Yes, 100%. I agree. I do think so. We do need that a lot more. We do need apps. We, like with the whole Apple thing, there's an app for it. I don't know if you remember the iOS store or Apple ad from back in the days. This is 15 years ago, once Apple was new, and there was an app for that. So to show people that, anything you want to do, there's an app for it. Right now, anything you want to do in crypto, you have to mix and match 5 different things. And there is not an app for it. That's our logo for crypto. But anyway, look, I'm having so much fun. I think we can continue this conversation for now. But I do want to get to the main thing. And that is, do you have an ask? Is there anything you're looking for? Are you looking to hire? Are you looking for nodes? Anything. Feel free to share. Looking for funding.
I think all three things that you mentioned, we're looking for all these three things. First of all, we are looking for people to basically try out Huddle Zero One. I am very active on Twitter. My handle is Ranjan3118. Please, if you can help with a brutal feedback on Huddle Zero One, how we should improve that. Very happy to hear that. Very eager to hear that. And please give it a spin. Second, on the network side, our node waitlist is happening right now. If you believe that basically you have a decent compute and bandwidth at your own home, you can become a Huddle Zero One node. You should basically try to give it a spin. The waitlist is like happening for the next 1 month. And both that will be rolling out nodes for everyone. That second and third is that we are hiring for the roles of product design, a product design head. We are hiring for the role growth head, and we are hiring for the role of community growth head. So if you are interested in what basically the mission of Huddle, very happy to chat. Again, most active on Twitter and Telegram. Both places, my ID is same, Ranjan3118, RANJAN3118. So I think these are three asks. And I think this is about it.
3118. Yeah, I'm looking for 3118. Oh, fantastic. Yes. So I will go and follow you straight away. I have found you on X. And what I'll do is I'll put all these links underneath in the show notes, so anyone that wants can come and follow you. So thank you. Thank you, Ranjan, so much for your time. And I want to wish you best of luck on this noble effort of building a decentralized communication network or a protocol. So look forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely, Sam. This was hands down one of the best podcasts I've been to. And I'm very, very excited to meet you as well in Web3 Festival Hong Kong. So see you there.
Yeah, good stuff. Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.